morning, I'm going to start off this series about knowing Jesus really simply. And I'm going to keep it simple for two reasons. One is that we all have 1 hour less of sleep that we're running on, and so I want to keep it simple for that. And the other reason is because, for me, some of the greatest moments of, like, understanding, like, really getting God, getting some sort of theological concept has come from reading children's books. And so there's something really good about simplicity that is easy to hold on to. And so my simpleness is on purpose. but before I go on to talk about what does it mean to know Jesus, what we mean when we are saying that phrase, I have to confess something to you. And it's something I prayed about. And I was like, God, are you sure? I don't know that I want to say this to everyone. And God was like, yeah, I want you to say it. And so I did. So in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was in middle school, I had this problem. And this was my problem. I was obsessed with New Kids on the Block. I mean, any time from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to bed that I could have their music playing, it was playing. I was listening to their words, and I would swoon that their lyrics were so amazing and their voices from heaven. And I had my walls covered in their posters. I actually had this exact poster. I was so excited to find it, and I was like, ah. Ceiling, so at night when I was in bed, I could drift away in sleep staring at them. It was good. And I had New Kids on the Block shoes. I had earrings. I had shirts. And I even, because puffy paints were really popular, I had puffy painted a pair of shorts that said New Kids on the Block. And sometimes I'd wear them all at once. But one of my favorite things that I owned was this book. It was like this encyclopedia-like book of New Kids on the Block. And it had all this information about every new kid, everything you'd want to know, their birthdays, what their favorite color was, what their favorite food was, the names of their parents, where they were born, pictures of their house. And I would spend hours just listening to their music, of course, and then reading their book and knowing about them and absorbing their information and just studying it. And so it just was a good thing for me. And eventually this news came out around my friends that New Kids on the Block were going to be coming to Reno. And we were so excited because nobody ever came to Reno. Everybody always went to Las Vegas. Nobody famous came to Reno. And we could not believe it. Like, this was destiny. And so we begged and begged and did a lot of bargaining to convince my family to let us go to this concert, my best friend and I. And they finally said, okay, you can go. We bought our tickets. And we were so excited that, like, we could hardly stand it. And we were already planning what we were going to wear and what it was going to be like. And my friend put an outfit on layaway because she had to have just the right outfit. And this friend of mine, she has a picture of this. So I thought, oh, well, I'll share with you this picture of us. This is us the night, just getting ready to leave to go to the New Kids on the Block concert. And we thought we looked so good. She was so excited about that outfit. And, I mean, she worked. There was a lot of labor earning money to get that outfit. And I had to beg my mom for that blazer because the shoulder pads were so good. And I just thought it complemented my floral jumpsuit so well. And, oh, we thought we looked good. As amazing as these clothes are, what I really want you to focus on, though, is the smile on my face. How big it is. And that is the smile of a girl, right? A teenage girl who deep down, and I wasn't saying this to anybody, but deep down, I really thought that I know everything about these guys. I know who they are. I'm truly their biggest fan. And somehow, some way, when I get there, even though we're literally in the second to the last row of the stadium, the New Kids on the Block are going to spot me. They're going to see me, and they're going to say, that girl is the girl we have been singing all these songs about. And she's got it. She's got to come with us. She's got to go on tour with us. She's got it. She can never leave us again. And then, of course, when that happened, one of them was going to fall madly in love with me, and we were going to get married, and the rest would be history. But you guys are really smart, and have probably figured out that that didn't happen. In fact, nothing happened. And I actually left that concert feeling so disappointed. Their show was probably just as good as always. They sang the same songs that I loved, but I was just disappointed. The magic was gone. And within months of that concert, my posters were down, wasn't really listening to their music anymore, was giving stuff away, Goodwill got all my new kids' clothes, and I was done. So most of you, right, because, you know, you're smart, likely know what I didn't know, what my little, like, 12-year-old heart didn't know, was that knowing all about the New Kids on the Block wasn't the same as knowing the New Kids on the Block. And you can probably guess where I'm going with this, but I have a really good sentence that you probably never thought you'd hear, is what I learned from New Kids on the Block is also true of Jesus. Because knowing Jesus, right, means more than just knowing his personal profile, more than just knowing his facts. So what does it mean to know Jesus? And to help me answer that question, I want to use 1 John 10:14, which is, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So some quick context for this verse, when Jesus said this, is that it was the Sabbath day, and he had just healed a blind man that had been blind since birth, put some mud in his eye and had him wash it out, and he was healed. And the local, the local Jewish leaders were really agitated about this. They were very upset. And so they went and had this guy, the newly seen guy, they had him come to their kind of gathering court place at the temple, and they were interrogating him. And they were like, who is this Jesus guy that did this? Who is he? And the healed guy, and this is such a good scene in the Bible, I just love it, you should read the healed guy, like, I don't know. The only thing I know is that I was blind, but now I see. And that made them very mad, and so they kept asking him more and more, this guy, the newly healed guy, who is this Jesus? Who is he? And finally, the seeing guy now says, why do you keep asking me all this? Are you hoping to become his disciples? And then the Jewish leaders get infuriated, and they get so mad, and so they kick him out. And Jesus hears that all this is happening, and he comes to the temple. And he begins to answer the question. He begins explaining to the leaders that were there and anyone else who would have been around in the temple who he is. He's answering this question. Who is this Jesus guy? And he's telling them. So that's what's going on when he says this. When he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Now there's a ton that can be taught about the context of this verse, about what's going on in this verse and what happens after this verse. But for today's purpose, I want to keep it simple and just look at what this verse is specifically showing us, what Jesus is trying to illustrate and communicate to us by saying this about what it means to know Jesus. And I'm going to do that by dividing the verse up into two parts, and I'll just use the semicolon as a natural break since it's already there. So that first phrase, I am the good shepherd. This is one of seven different I am statements that Jesus makes. In the Bible. So he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. Now, just like everything else in the Bible, these verses are really rich and have so much more in them, and there's so much to talk about. Like, we could spend weeks just talking about what these statements say and what they mean to us. But just for this morning, what I want us to focus on is, why does Jesus make these statements? What is he doing when he's saying this? Does he just really like to use metaphors a lot? He does, and it's one of the great things about Jesus, because I love metaphors. But what he's doing, what I'd like us to notice that he's doing when he says these statements, is that he's giving us his profile. You know, just like we do when we meet someone, we're like, I am, you know, I'm so-and-so. Or on our social media pages, you know, we say, I'm female, I'm single, I'm married, I'm dating, I'm an employee of such and such a place. It's the way we kind of show who we are. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's helping us to learn about him. He's telling us who he is and what it means for us. He's letting us know that he is the Savior God promised to send. He's letting us know he is how we find fullness of life and eternal life. He's letting us know that he is how we find God and that he is the answer to everything. Not that he has the answer, he is the answer. And so Jesus spends so much of his time teaching, not just in these statements, but in his life, just teaching about who he is and what it means for us. So Jesus clearly wants us to know his profile. And just like New Kids on the Block, Jesus, you know, they had a book. Jesus has a book, right? And it's the Bible. And this is where I'm going to do my quick plug, right? Like, I can't say enough that it's so worth your time and effort to be in this book. At least as often as maybe you use social media. You're on that for 5-10 minutes. Spend 5 or 10 minutes in this. It's so good. But I say it's also really a complex book and can have really weird parts and can have really confusing parts, and it can be a hard thing to get through. But that's not a reason to avoid it. And I'll tell you a secret, that there's a lot of people in this church who really love this book, who spend a lot of time in it and reading it, and they actually love talking about it. And so go to them with your questions. Be in the book. And when you have something, start asking people. You will make them so happy. You'll make their day to ask them a question about what's going on and that they can share. And then the other thing I want to say, and this was just something that I learned probably like 8 or 9 years ago that got me really super excited about the Bible, was that Jesus, I thought, you know, is just in this part, like this end part, but it turns out that Jesus is in the whole part. He starts from the beginning to the very end, and that, for me, was just transformed how I could relate to this. So there you go. That's my Bible plug. I just had to get it in there. I'm one of those people. I like the Bible a lot. All right. So knowing Jesus's profile is super important. Oh, how did it jump ahead? I must have done that. Is super important. But just like my New Kids example, right, knowing about them wasn't the same as knowing them. It wasn't complete. So just knowing their profile wasn't complete. And so just like that for Jesus, knowing his profile is not a complete relationship. And why not? So what are some examples of that? Well, the Jewish leaders, right, they're a great example of this. Those Jewish leaders that were questioning Jesus, right, they knew Scripture. They had it memorized. They knew Scripture very well. They understood that God had promised to send a Messiah. They knew these things. They knew them in their heart. And then they also knew Jesus, like a face-to-face knew Jesus, and they saw the miracles. They were witnessing these things that he had performed, and they knew who he was saying he was, and they couldn't see it. They didn't get it, right? They were using the very scriptures that were explaining who he was to actually try to condemn him, right? So just knowing wasn't enough. They didn't understand. Another example of what this can look like are biblical scholars. There's people out there that know the Bible so well, they know the history of the Bible so well, the context of it, they'll know it better than probably many of us combined, like really brilliant people. But even in that brilliance, with all that knowledge they contain, there are some that are atheists. They know it, but they don't believe it. And so knowledge enough isn't enough, right? Just knowledge about Jesus isn't enough. So those are all great examples, but they're all non-believers. Right? So if you're a believer, right, you already believe in Jesus, then knowing his facts, that's enough, right? Well, technically, right, when it comes to our salvation, it is enough. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it's in knowing those things and believing those things, right, that we find our salvation. And so that's true. But in believing Jesus, we are saved. But what Jesus is talking about and what we're talking about when we talk about knowing Jesus is more than that. It's greater than that. So I'd like to share a personal example of what it looked like for me, because this is something that I've experienced. It was of this kind of knowing the profile of Jesus and being a believer and the impact that it had that I didn't have the full knowing of him. So I was raised with grandparents that totally loved Jesus, and they went to church, and they knew about him, and so they made sure to tell me all about him. They taught me about him. They brought me to church. I knew his stories. I knew who he said he was. I knew all this about him. I even had some scriptures memorized, and it was really good. But as I grew older, as I left early childhood and became closer and closer to becoming a teenager and a young adult, the really painful, toxic circumstances of my home life got increasingly harder. I had families with drug and alcohol addictions, and it was a pretty brutal place to live. And so what started happening is those experiences of what my life was really like started coming face to face with what I was being told about Jesus, and they weren't lining up. My experiences and what he was saying didn't match. And what ended up happening with my relationship with Jesus is a lot of like what happened with my relationship with the new kids, is that I started to be really disappointed in Jesus. And I would pray to him and I'd say, you're a healer, you're a deliverer, you're a resurrector. Heal and deliver my family. Heal and deliver my addicted loved ones. Save us from what we're suffering. And nothing would happen. And I would pray and pray and nothing would happen. And then I started, you know, I was still reading the Bible at night, but a shift happened where I started experiencing defeat and shame every time I would read the Bible. I mean, like, I can't do these things. I can't achieve what you're asking me to achieve here. I can't follow your rules. Things like, I love him with my whole mind and heart and strength. I couldn't do that. I couldn't love him. I didn't even really like him, and I was pretty sure he didn't like me. And then Jesus was saying, you know, I'm going to give you life and life to the full. Well, I wasn't experiencing that. In fact, what I was experiencing when I looked around is all these people who didn't know Jesus, maybe even hated him, far away from him, they were the ones having a full life. They were certainly looked like they were having more fun and they were having more success. And it seemed even more freedom. And so I packed my spiritual bags. I said, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I don't know who you are, but I don't think you are who you say you are, and I'm done with you. And so I switched. I had a whole new life. If it looked good and it felt good, I did it. If it was something Jesus wouldn't do, I was like, I'll do that. And my life was totally different. Now, that story is not uncommon. There are so many people who walk away from their relationship with Jesus for the exact same reason. The things in this world and the things that they're told about Jesus don't match up. And so they walk away. Now, my story obviously didn't end there because I'm here talking to you today about knowing Jesus and how wonderful it is to know Jesus. And I had this just prayer in my heart just all the time, not just today, that all of us would want more of Jesus, that all of us every day would wake up wanting more Jesus, more of you. And how did that happen? How did I go from being totally as far away as possible as I could be from Jesus to being a nerd for Jesus, right? Like, how does that happen? Well, basically, my life became a hot mess. Things just fell apart, and I was hurting, and I was in pain. Probably looked okay on the outside, but I wasn't at all on the inside. And I got to this desperate place where one night I said this prayer. I was like, God, I'm still not sure who you are. I'm not sure what this says about you. But what I know is that this, what I'm doing right now, isn't working. And so I am going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you a chance to show me who you really are. And that really was my prayer. It wasn't a humble prayer, but it was an honest prayer. And God and Jesus love honest prayers. And so God answered that prayer by letting me experience the truth of the second half of this verse. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And it was experiencing that truth time and time and time and time again that I went from being a hedonist, like full-on hedonist, to being someone who loves Jesus enough to be standing here today to talk about him. All right. So let's look at what Jesus is saying here a little bit more closely. It's Jesus. So he's saying, okay, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So the sheep in this are just keeping with his metaphor, because Jesus never uses mixed metaphors, which I also really appreciate about him. So he continues with that. So if he's the good shepherd, my sheep are all of us. Okay, and we know what like words like I and me mean. So what about this know? What does this know mean that's here? So it's important to know that in the Greek language, and I'll add that I don't know this just by knowing, the internet is really helpful, and there's these amazing things called interlinear Bibles. Like, if this Bible is not enough for you, there's one that's written in, like, the original language, and then exact translation underneath, and it's really good if you're really nerdy. And it's so fun to get into. So this is how I know that. It's not because I know Greek. But there are a few, there's, like, about three different words for the word what we would translate in English as know in the Greek language. So it's important to make a distinction about what know Jesus is using here. And the know that he's using in Greek, and I put it here because I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I think is gnosko. And what gnosko means is totally different from knowing a fact. And it's different from the knowing that we say when we understand a fact. What this word means is talking about knowing from personal experience. It's to experientially know something or someone. So what Jesus is saying here when he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He's saying, I just don't know about my sheep. I encounter my sheep. And my sheep don't just know about me. My sheep encounter me. And just, you know, sometimes we can think, oh, you know, he's just saying that. I mean, we can hear something and not really get it. But Jesus really wants us to get that he's really meaning this gnosko knowing. So in the next verse in John 10:15, which I didn't put here, Jesus goes on to say, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, Jesus is fully God, fully man, and so he really, really, really knows the Father. And what he's saying is that we can really, really, really know him that way, which is like really hard to wrap our minds around. It's a big thing. So I think to help, right, I'm just going to say, like, give an example of what does this look like for us today, to know Jesus in this way, the way that Jesus can know God. Several months ago, I was in this place emotionally where I was just feeling really, really sad because I was just really aware, and probably God showing me, right, of all these times that I had said no to him when I could have said yes. Some of them small and some of them big, and all of them mostly because I was just a scaredy cat and afraid to say yes to the things he was asking. And in that sadness, I was saying sorry and then started to kind of feel really down on myself. And I was like, God, I know you forgive me. I know you love me. But if I were you, I would be totally fed up with me. I'd be all done. I would stick myself on a shelf and be... see you later. And that's just where I was at. And I would spend a lot of time just sharing that with God and sitting with God and being present with him. And he just kept showing up with his love, which just boggles my mind, but it's how he is. But at this time, I hadn't voiced this to anyone other than God. I hadn't said this to anyone. And one night during a kind of small group prayer time with some women leaders of our church, we were praying for each other, and I can't even remember if I'd asked for prayer. I don't think I had. I'm pretty sure I hadn't. But one of the women just decided she needed to pray for me because she said, I felt like God wants you to know that he still wants to use you, and he hasn't taken away the gifts he's given you. Now, she didn't know I was wrestling with that. I hadn't spoken those words out to anyone except to God. And in that moment, I knew. In that moment, I knew he saw me, and he loved me, and he wanted me to know that he saw me and loved me. And I could experience, not just know, but I could experience, right, that God knows the secrets of my heart. You can hear that verse, and you can think, that's a really great thing. But when you experience that thing, it's amazing. It's where the tears come to your eyes. It's where your heart feels full. It's where you just feel God. You feel Jesus. So in that moment, right, I experienced what Jesus is saying here. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I knew he knew me. And I could know him in that knowing of me. So that's really it. It's that simple. I could go on, and there's really big, complex things that you can talk about that involve, like, the Holy Spirit and God and how does that work. But for today, for understanding what we mean when we say knowing Jesus, it's this. To know Jesus means to know about him and to experience him personally in your life. So if that's what knowing Jesus means, great. What does that mean for you? Well, individually, I would say that knowing Jesus this way, this is how you experience what he has promised to you, which is life and life to the full. Knowing him is how that happens. I believe this is even how we're able to do that thing that I struggled so much with when I was a teenager, which was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. It comes from knowing him. It comes from those encounters that we can do that. And what does this mean for us as a church? So if that's what it means for us individually, what does it mean for us as a church? And really, that's kind of how this all got started. About a year ago, David had had a teaching where he was sharing his vision that God had given him of that harvest field, you know, the vision for our church here that God had for us. And there's this harvest field, everything's ready to go. It's a nice fence, and we're all there. All of us are there. And the combine is late. David is stressed out because the combine's late, and he's looking for the combine to arrive. And the next thing he knows, he looks over, and all of you are in that field. You just jumped the fences and have started working, and he's just amazed at the joy and the life that he's seen as everybody's in that field working. And so when he was talking about that, it just really hit my heart. And I went home, and I prayed about it over a period of time, and I just kept praying, and I thought, like, God, I want that to happen. Like, that is so good. That is so amazing. Like, I want to see that happen, but how is it going to happen? How does that happen? I just kept praying. And eventually I felt like God just said on my heart, it's going to happen because they know me. It's not going to happen because they know David or because of some kind of fancy thing. It's going to happen because they know me. And so I prayed some more about that and thought about it some more, and I thought, God, you're totally right, because he usually is. It's just the getting that he's right that takes me forever. But he's like, you're totally right. Everything that I've ever done, right, that has eternal value has happened because I know Jesus. And like an example is like this time I prayed for this woman in a Baskin-Robbins. Who had this terrible sore throat, and she had to be at work, and they wouldn't let her to go home because she was the only one, and she had to be there, and she was super uncomfortable, and I was like, I guess I should pray for her. Like, in internal panic, because one of the things I most fear is a bad reaction from someone. I don't like that, and I work pretty hard to avoid it. And so, but because I know Jesus, I could pray for her. And then she was healed, which shocked me more than it shocked her. It really did. Right? But that happened. That super cool thing happened. I was able to take that step of faith because I know Jesus. And that's true for our church. Whatever the thing is that Jesus wants you in the field doing, whatever your harvest is that he's calling you to, doing that thing, when you do that thing with him, your experiential knowledge of Jesus will go off the charts. You'll encounter him and know him, what he's knowing, even greater than all the other ways. So the worship team can come back up now. So this week's challenge is pretty simple, because I like simple, as I said before, and it's something you could actually do here this morning before you go, and then you're done, is just pray and ask Jesus to know him like he says you can know him. And if you're in a place where you've never experienced Jesus in the way that we've talked about this morning, that I've talked about, then this is a perfect prayer for you to say. It's just to say you want to know him that way. And if you already totally get everything I said and you're a little bit bored with what I said because it's so familiar to you, this is still a perfect prayer to say because Jesus and God are infinite. And knowing them is an infinite process, and we can continue to know. And so how you know him, he's got more for you, something greater for you than you have already experienced.